understand. Some of it you don't have to understand, but you'll know your part in this. I really need you older people to take a serious look at your life and why you're here. It's more than for what you're doing at your workplace. It's more than what you're doing for yourself. It has everything to do with passing the torch and allowing the anointing to flow from generation to generation. We are studying the anointing, how it's acquired, how it's released. And there are principles behind how we can acquire it and how we release it. And I'm going to run through these principles over the next month or so of how you can do this. And today I'm going to cover one, so let's just pray. This is an extremely important one because it gives you the foundation for why you must do and carry on and grab hands and do everything we've talked about today in the circle of being one, becoming one, knowing in the spirit when to encourage and when to lift up and when to heal and when to pull out demons and when to do all the things that God intended to be normal for us. Supernatural to the world, idiotic to the world, but a natural flow of activity that should be occurring here all the time as we gather together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that today this message, this foundational message of the principles behind acquiring and releasing the anointing that you give us upon salvation will be understood, but more importantly, will be carried out. We must act. We must do at this point in our juncture of our maturity in the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to use the biblical account of Elijah's relationship with Elisha. Some of you know the story. Doesn't matter. You will need to know the story as we read through the chapter. But there was a prophet Elijah, and there was a prophet Elisha. Elijah came first. Elisha was a spiritual son. He was underneath Elijah. He came and followed Elijah. So just know that for now. He was the anointed prophet, Elijah was, by God. God chose Elijah to be his spokesperson, put the Holy Spirit in him, and gave him the words to give to the people. And Elijah was the man, and he called fire down from heaven, and he did miracles, and he was the supernatural of God on earth, much like Jesus was, much like you are, actually. When that anointing is passed, you receive it, and you, what? Release it, because you can take it to the grave. Elisha was guilty of taking some of that anointing to the grave. Why? Because when someone was thrown in on his grave, on his dead bones, what happened? They came alive. That means he still had some left. He didn't give it all away. And you're going to learn today that what it is that you have, you need to give away. So when they bury that dead corpse of yours, you got nothing left. It's been given away. And you're not taking it with you because you can't. We're going to talk about Elijah and his relationship with Elisha, the anointed prophet and his spiritual son. And we're going to have seven principles to live by in order to flow in this anointing of God. Fulfill your divine destiny is what I'm saying. And there are probably a million principles, but I'm going to just cover seven of them so that we can just get started and get moving in this. You see, the anointing, the Bible says, is passed on from generation to generation. The Holy Spirit moves. He moved across the earth, he comes into our lives, and when we get people saved, he comes into other people's lives. There's a torch, there's a passing on, there's a baton. God himself isn't going down there and doing this. He's using us as his hands and feet to be the individuals that lead people to Christ, that lay hands on the sick, that raise the dead, that do the things that God does, because God is in us. And we have to pass it on. You got to lay hands for somebody to get sick. You got to speak the word for someone to get saved. You got to do what he tells us to do as vessels, as human beings that are endowed with the Holy Spirit to be supernatural on this earth. We're it. As Jeremy was saying, the time is now. You are those that God has chosen to be anointed and to release that anointing to the next generation. The anointing, going from one previous generation to the next, is done because God has chosen spiritual moms and dads to be his instruments of impartation. Do you get that? God could do it just like he did in the Old Testament, and he just said, I'm going to take Elijah, and I'm going to put my spirit upon him, and he's going to go out into the thing. Oh, I'm going to grab Moses, and I'm just going to put my spirit on him, and he's going to do his thing, and he's going to be my vessel. when Jesus Christ died on the cross and He gave His Spirit unto God, and the veil in the temple that kept the lay people out and only those priests in to hear the voice of God was torn and ripped and rent in two and opened it up so that all of us could enter into the most holy place, the presence of God, and receive and be endowed with that impartation, Holy Spirit. How does it happen? Well, today in the church, it happens through us because we're God's ambassadors, His representatives. We carry the anointing, and it's up to us to pass it to the next generation, or we'll be like Israel, who didn't tell the sons and daughters, who didn't impart to the sons and daughters, and they went wayward, and we saw it. But when that anointing was passed on, we saw what? Spiritual exploits beyond anything that you could dream of. Stories that you read of that wow, what such great stories. Well, they were real. Right. Mouths of lions were shut. Yes. Samson carried half the city up that hill. How could a man do that? He can't. But endowed with the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's our job as spiritual moms and dads to be that impartation. And again, mentors are necessary, or we will see and have seen spiritual decline. When we don't pass the torch, when we're lazy, when we're in front of the TV, sorry. When we're in front of the electronics, sorry. When we're working all the time, sorry. When we're not in church, sorry. When we're not in fellowship, sorry. When we're not in a circle imparting to one another and delivering one another, sorry. There will be spiritual decline. But when we're listening to the voice of the Spirit and people that are in their homes like Bert and Joanne and they're being filled with the Spirit and she comes in shaking today saying, it's got to get out. It needs to find somebody who wants it. That's when the Spirit gets stirred and it happens and great exploits get done and people are healed and the purposes of God are accomplished. Not because we go through an order of service, because we're listening to God and we obeyed Him this morning. But it does not leave you out. 2 Kings 2, 1 through 6, mentors are necessary. Spiritual moms and dads are necessary. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind up into heaven. Elijah didn't die. That Elijah went with Elisha, his spiritual son, from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. You want to talk about spiritual thirst and hunger. I want what you got, Elijah, and I ain't leaving. God's with you. I see the presence of God all over you, and I'm not leaving the anointing. Yeah. I want what you have. You kids out there, you young people out there, when you see those mentors, you see those people who've got what you want, who are doing spiritual exploits, who are preaching great messages, who are laying hands on the sick, who are doing the work of the ministry, and you say, well, I wish I could be like my dad or my grandfather or that man over there or Jeremy in the back seat. I want what you have. Yeah, you got to go get it. You got to say, I ain't leaving them. I'm going to be at their side. I'll be at every meeting. I'll sweep their floors. I'll kiss their feet. I'll do whatever I got to do. But I want what you have. Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I'm not going to leave you. Say, they went down to Bethel. And then the sons of the prophets, other prophets that were there. Okay? Elisha was the one that was hungry and thirsty. There were plenty of others, but they weren't hungry and thirsty. They went where they were, who were at Bethel, came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today? Well, he could have been master over all of them if they wanted it. And he said, yes, I know, shut up. My interpretation. But that's what it translates to. Be still, hush. You guys have no part in this. You should have been hanging around Elijah long before I did. You've been sitting here in school going through all the A, B, C, D, E, F, G's instead of being in relationship with the Father. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Now he's moving on. And he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I ain't leaving. So they came to Jericho. Can you see this? Young people, if you want what someone else has, and you know it's spiritual, and you know it's powerful, and you know you want it, and you don't want to get distracted by the world, cling to those who've got it. the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take your master from over you today?" And he answered and said to him, "Yes, I know. Shut up! I am following the Anointed One. I know this. It's been prophetically spoken to me. That's why I'm staying right by him, because he could go at any time. You guys, you're just getting words and you're using words for your own purposes. If you really cared, you'd follow us and you wouldn't take no for an answer." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I'm not going to leave you." You think he'd have got it by now. So the two of them went on. What are we going to learn from this one principle today? Aren't you glad it's only going to be one? You can get out of here on time. First, this is the first principle, if you're taking notes, of acquiring. Listen, the first principle of acquiring and then flowing in the anointing, of getting what that anointed person you see operating in the anointing has and getting even a double portion. Don't even settle for what they've got. I want more than what they've got, God. How do you do that? And how do you flow in it? First principle is you must allow the old and the new to flow together for a season. You just can't say, "I want what they got," and go out and have your own ministry and do your own thing. The old and the new have got to flow together for a season. It's a principle. Elijah and Elisha had to flow together as one. That's why he said, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I got to learn. I got to watch. I got to sense. I got to pick up. I got to be imparted to. I got to have knowledge. I got to be submitted. I got to learn to submit. I've got to learn to commit. I've got to learn to do all those things that God expects of someone who is submitted and committed to God, that's willing to sweep floors and do whatever it takes in order to go out there on the front stage and be that man of God God wants you to be, or woman of God." There are principles to follow in God's kingdom. Again, Elijah and Elisha had to flow together as one before the passing of the anointing could take place. This happens, listen, crucial, this happens relationally and spiritually, not denominationally or organizationally. This anointing happens relationally and spiritually, not denominationally or organizationally. In other words, the people God chooses to anoint for a specific task are not necessarily those that have seniority or are next in line, so to speak. Wisdom and ability do not arise from years of service. They flow out of relationship and pursuit of holiness. Just because you've been sweeping floor, just because you've been serving on a soup line, just because you do, doesn't make you, you. You are what you speak. You are what you are in relationship with. You are who God says you are. Wisdom and ability come out of that. God chooses the humble of heart, those that are hungry and thirsty for His purposes, those that are willing to submit to existing authority, not the ones that just simply went to school and want to get in or are next in line. Interestingly enough, natural sons and people who tend to take existing leadership for granted, I'll say that again, natural sons and people who take existing leadership for granted generally have a little more trouble with honor and submission. Come on, we're more familiar in our own hometown, we're more familiar in our own family, we're all familiar with our own pastor. I could give a message right now and it could be the best thing you've ever heard since apple pie and Chevrolet. And 5 weeks from now you go hear it in some other church, come back, "Pastor, you should have heard the word I heard. Heck, I said it 5 weeks ago." Why? Because the characteristic of human nature, when we give into it, we take each other for granted. And that's why the natural sons, and again, those who take existing leadership for granted, generally have trouble with honor and submission. And God is big on honor and submission. So for those who are seeking the anointing that rests on many of God's current chosen leaders, you just have to put up with us, even if you don't necessarily like our personality or the way we do some things. It's true. You may not like the way I minister. You may not like exactly what I preach. You may not like exactly how my personality is. I don't visit you enough. I don't come and do this. I don't do this. I don't do that. But you know what? If you want the anointing and you want more of it and you want what is flowing from this place, stuff like that, you're just going to have to go put up with that. Yes. You're just going to have to suck it up and just go with the flow, literally. Because God works just like that. For whatever reason, He chose me. I'm standing here. He's the one God chose, not you right now, but there are many of you out there that will be coming up for those that are hungry and thirsty and committed and submitted and willing to hang out and willing to put down and willing to go down. For those things that go down, get exalted, and those things that are game putting up with things, you're going to get all those things. That's how God works. Amen. Amen. Let me liken this to like a courtship of a man and a woman. Your girlfriend's mom and their dad have what you want. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Your girlfriend's mom and dad have what you want. So what do? You laugh at dad's corny jokes. You put up with kid brother's pestering pranks. And you flatter mama no matter what. How does this dress look? Wonderful. Beautiful. Doesn't matter how ugly it is, it's beautiful to you. Because this is what we do. You got to play the game. And you got to play it their way until what? The transfer takes place. Then you can do your own thing. You got to suck up to the parents if you want to get what they got. And then once you got them, then you're free to do what you want to do. But the same thing works with the anointing. When you see people with the anointing, you can't just do your own thing and walk all over those. You got to honor them. You got to submit to them. You got to put up with their personalities and their quirks and their things. Because you want the anointing, and God will give you that anointing and even a double anointing, and you'll be your own person, but not until you've made that transfer. It's just how God works this exchange in the kingdom. To one day be in authority, you must be under authority. God is looking for what? Sons of the Spirit, not necessarily sons of the prophets. What I call natural selection. He wants those that crave that double portion and are willing to put up with and do whatever it takes to remain in the presence of the Anointed One. I'm not going to leave you. But I got to go over. I'm not going anywhere. That's what Elijah and Elisha did. Elisha responded to Elijah numerous times. Let me tell you how this translates. This phrase, "As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Here's the translation. God is life, and this life of God is in you, and I'm not leaving. Do you get that? "As the Lord liveth" translates, God is life. "And as thy soul liveth, and this life of God is in you, I will not leave thee." I'm not leaving. We also saw this principle in effect with Joshua and Moses, remember? When Joshua refused to leave Moses' presence, knowing that Moses had what he wanted, what? The anointing of God. What did we say the anointing was? The glory. Remember, Moses would come out of the tent and glory, the light of God would shine from him because he'd been in the presence of God. And that glory was what? We said it was the kavod. What is the kavod? The weightiness, the authority, the power that's exuded when you come out. It's the character and nature of God, His authority and power, His kavod, His weightiness. And it was all over Moses. And when he stepped out, you could see it, you could feel it, like when we stood up here, could sense the presence of God. You might not know what was being said or if anything even happened, but you could just know God was there. And Joshua said, he's in there. I'm going to sit right here, right there. Right where, as soon as the door opens, I want to be there when this thing comes out. Elijah, Elisha, Moses, Joshua, do you understand what's happening here? This is how it was carried. The anointing was passed on. But you got to be there when it gets passed on. You can't be somewhere else doing your own thing, living your own life, being half concerned with the things of God and half concerned with the things of your own life and expect that that baton's going to get put in your hand. How committed are you? How bad do you want to live a supernatural life on earth? Woo. Okay. Let me try to wind this thing in. Let's just move on here. Now, I'm speaking to you sons and daughters, you young people out there that know right now there's people that you're around And they may not even be in this church. They may be in ministries elsewhere. You may sign up. You may go down to Atlanta. You may hear somebody on the radio that you just think is just apple pie, Chevrolet, all of it. You want it all. And so you go and get in that church, and you get underneath them, and you follow them around. You bug them until they do something with you. Or it may be in your own family, your own fathers and mothers who you know you see the anointing. Or it may be your pastor, or it may be your pastor's pastor, or your leader, or whoever. But you all know there's people in your life that you respect and you honor, and that's the biggest and first step, that you want what they've got. And then these principles come to pass. Now, for those who already possess the anointing, that's you guys out there that have what these guys want. Okay, it's your turn. Remember, first of all, that anointing isn't yours. And it's not yours to give it to whoever you want to give it to. It's God's. And instinctively, He will show you who to sow into. You will disappoint some people who are in succession, in line, have been in the church the longest, who want to be the wannabe pastors, and you go right around them, just like Samuel did to the six brothers to go to David. And you went to the one who God knew was hungry and thirsty and committed and was going to just release everything that he had in him. Come on. So it's you. You got the anointing. You're going to be instinctively shown who it's going to be sown into. Don't let your emotions get in the way. Well, you need to be spending time with so-and-so because he's naturally my son or he's naturally... No, you go and you sow into those who God shows you to sow into. Because your son or my son may be being sown in from another prophet or whomever. Because the anointing he needs isn't the anointing I've got, it's the anointing Bert has. So Bert may be to your son what I can't be to your son, but I can be to this son over here. It's not always the most obvious choices. You may be called to sow into only one person, or it may be the whole congregation. So your daytimer may go from 0 to 60 quick. And how dare you say no to somebody who's really, really hungry or thirsty. Amen. My wife told me a long time ago, anybody who came up to Hoo-Hoo, she knew was really hungry and thirsty for God. If they wanted to be mentored, it didn't matter what her schedule looked like, she'd make time. Wow. That's impressive. That's selfless. That's humble. That's God. Remember that the veil was torn so everybody could access the anointing. So the key is, who really wants it? Isaiah 66:2. We're getting there. We're almost there. Isaiah 66:2. For my hand made all these things, says the Lord. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. Who's he going to look to? Who's God going to look to? He's talking in heaven. He's saying, who am I going to look to? To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Oh, Jesus.
You want to fit the description? You want what somebody else has? Get humble. Get in the spirit. And get in the word. Humility of Christ in the spirit. The word, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let them be all over you. Get into his presence. You'll come out looking like Joanne did today. They spent the week with God, and Joanne was here trembling because she was just overflowing with the presence of God. Do anybody want that?
Yeah.
Well, you might get a little busy, Joanne. Moses never preconsidered Joshua, but Joshua was the man who was there when the chips were down, and he was the one that was ready for the inheritance. He was the one who came back and said, them giants, they're nothing. God said, because he was in the Word, he was in the Spirit, he reported back, he said, these giants, they're nothing for God. David took care of one, we can take care of the rest. Come on, Moses, tell me what to do next. He was one of only two men that were willing to sit there and cling to the anointing. And it was only Joshua who prevailed over Caleb even to stand there even at the edge of the tent and wouldn't leave his side, much like Elisha did with Elijah. Joshua knew and he treasured the value of Moses' revelation and ministry, even though he probably had a glimpse of how God would later change his methods to bring forth Israel's victory. Listen to me, folks. God's principles remain the same, but his methods change. Again, God does not obliterate old truth for new truth. Truth is truth. Both old and new are good. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to abolish the law, the Old Testament law, or the prophets. In other words, get rid of it. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. He was fulfilling what they were doing. He was adding to it. He was giving us new commandments. He was bringing in more truth. The old truth was still good, but now I have new revelation that some of it supersedes some of the old stuff. But it's all good. It's all being done in heaven. Thou shalt not steal. It was Old Testament. Nobody's stealing in heaven. I guarantee you that. God does not kill the mother when she has a baby. The old truth is not killed when the new truth comes in. New truth grows out of old truth. They walk together for a season, and this is what we're talking about. Methods are going to change, but principles remain the same. Matthew 13, 52. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things both what? New and old. If you're a disciple, if you're following Jesus Christ, history makes a difference. Our past makes a difference. Your dad and your grandpa and those that went on before you should have made a difference. You don't throw them away. That's what led you to where you are. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. You got to have both. Another example, one of the dangers, and I'm going to just use this and close with this example. One of the dangers of this generation is that we have studied and we've learned new ways to praise and worship. I mean, there's smoke and there's lights and there's keyboards and there's bongos and there's drums and there's fiddles and there's this and there's that and there's instruments I've never even seen before and there's praise teams and choirs and all of this stuff. Now, they didn't have any of that stuff back in the old days. If you watch Andy Griffith, you'll see a pot and a little fiddle, right? And a jug. You know? How many of you, come on, anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? They can make some music. For some of you today, you're looking at it going, oh my gosh. But back then, I'll tell you what, they had a great old time and it ministered to their spirit and the joy of the Lord could still be their strength. I'm here to tell you, one of the dangers is that we've learned new ways to praise and worship. We've learned how to move into the presence of God almost professionally. Almost professionally. Sometimes we lose sight of the greatness of our heritage. We need to bring it with us and not shun it and leave it behind us. Some of the old worship songs and methods are still anointed today. It serves to bring us together as a people. We got to hold on to the principles of Elijah, even though the direction may be going in Elisha's way. You get that? I'm going to just close with this clip, and then I'm going to say one last thing with how the old and the new can flow together really well. Ryan, why don't you put that little video on for me? How the old and the new can flow. Bring the lights down, please.